today, and a couple of them talk about the love of God, which is always good, but it reminded me of Romans 8, and so I'm going to kind of read through parts of Romans 8, so I'll be kind of skipping around. So if you go to your Bible and you go, that's not how it goes, just listen and receive. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that. No other created thing. That means nothing that God created, including ourselves, can separate us from the love of God. He loves us. That's the final word today. He loves us. He loves us in all our condition and all our states. God is love, and he loves us. Is that not good news? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord, to experience another level of your love. Father, we just surrender and we yield, Lord, this service into your hands. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to just work in our hearts in a deep, deep way today. Allow us to resonate, to vibrate, Lord, with who you are in our lives in a deeper way. We pray for everyone, Lord, that's in the service, everyone hearing my voice, God, that they would be touched deep in their being with the love of God. Lord, we thank you that your love eradicates, removes all fear. That there's no condemnation, Lord, in you, Lord, because you do love us. And we receive, Lord, your grace and your mercy today. In Jesus' name.
to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Every heart that is broken.
I am a child.
Jesse, will you put that second chorus up on the screen? See it? From my mother's womb. Oh, verse 2. There we go. Second chorus, verse 2. There. Same thing for me. No, never mind. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I have been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Your blood flows through my veins. I mean, that's hard for us to imagine, that his blood flows through our veins. But, you know, we're not the same thing we were prior to coming to Christ.
What's even more amazing is love called our name.
Love called our name.
Like, individually.
From my mother's womb. Yeah.
That's the coolest.
I didn't find it till 19 years old. Some of you found it in your home when you were young. Others still looking for it, unfortunately. But love's out there calling the name. But his blood flows through our veins. What that's saying is that we're not of this earthly realm anymore. We've been transformed. It says we're new creations in Christ. Lord, we just thank you, God, that like Gay said, love has called our names. And Lord, we are in your family. And Lord, your blood does flow through our veins. Lord, we pray that today that reality, Lord, that we are not of this world, but we're of you, Lord, would come into our hearts in a fresh way. That we are set apart and that we are called for a higher calling, Lord, than just living a normal life. We're called, Lord, for great purposes, Lord, here. And so, Lord, I just pray that right now every individual that's hearing my voice would be encouraged in their heart to stand up and say, God, what you have called me to, you have empowered me to do. And I receive it now. I receive it, Lord, by faith, God, that you will show me the way. You will lead me, Lord, just as you led Jesus, Lord, that as he saw what the Father was doing, he did it. Lord, let us see what you're doing, God, so that we can follow and do it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, team. I love that song. I can talk about it every single time when we do it, how the Lord just awakened my heart to the fact that I'm a son. That women were daughters. The reality of being born from above. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure we have a few families that are out celebrating the Memorial Day weekend. Pray that you all have a great day tomorrow. And Gay was sharing something. Did you want to share that? It's kind of deep, but
it's deep, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's huge. But Dan, you served in the Navy? Army? Is there any other vets here besides Dan? We want to honor you, Dan. We really do. I read something yesterday. Let me see if I can get it back up. And it was written by a vet. I don't know if it's going to come back up or not. I may have to surmise it of what I read.
You did a good job with me.
Okay, so this vet is actually the gentleman that ended up finding and killing Osama bin Laden. And as you know, the war had broke out, and that was like 15 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And the title of his writing was please do not wish me a happy Memorial Day. Americans have made it about barbecues, picnics,
first day to go camping,
sales at the mall, first day to go camping. It's a holiday, and some use it for happy summer day, like, you know, summer's coming. This is the end to it. But he said, you know, a lot of people now are in graves because they willingly gave their life, and that's not to be celebrated. It's to be honored. And one part of it that he said that really struck me so hard was, he said, maybe I did just find it. He said, no, I didn't. He said that grass is just now growing on the vets that were buried last year. And we need to remember that next year it will be the same thing. And so I just want everybody to be aware that it's a day to honor people that have served, that he said past generations and generations yet to come that will, because they paid for the freedom that we enjoy. And so anyway, it was very eye-opening for me, and I just wanted to share that. That it's, to me, it's more about not celebrating, more about honoring and saying thank you to the people that served.
Yeah, thank you. So, today we're going to be back in John chapter 5. And we're going to be at verses 19 through 30. But we're going to start by reading verse 18. Are you going to go and read it?
I'm trying to get to it.
Trying to get to it.
Yeah.
And just so that we can kind of recap about why Jesus is communicating the way he is. So.
Sorry.
Can you read up there? Is that like too far?
That's too far. Away.
Too far. Want to read mine first until you get yours? No, never mind.
I'll get it.
She's looking.
I'm looking. Where are you, babe?
Where am I? I'm right here. You've gotten that many texts?
It's coming up.
Okay, good.
Okay. But start with 18.
Just read 18 so I can kind of recap about what was going on.
Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God.
So the first previous 17 verses is where we talked about the house of mercy, where the man who was at the pool, Bethesda, right?
Yeah. Bethesda.
Yeah. And I want to make sure I did that right. And he was there for many years, and no one had ever helped him into the pool. And Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk, and he did. And the Jewish leader said, why are you carrying your mat on Sabbath day? And so this is why they wanted to kill him all the more, it says, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but then that's in verse, I think, 17, he says, you know, this, I'm doing my Father's work.
Right.
I'm doing what the Father wants me to do. And so go ahead and start at verse 19 now.
Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me.
That was a lot.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, going back to John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly," that's one of those where it says "verily, verily" in the King James. It's like John was the only disciple, apostle, who used that "verily, verily" twice, and he wanted to say that what Jesus was saying was of great emphasis. And he says, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So this is one of those mysterious scriptures, because it's not always easy to relate to, because Jesus is saying, "I can't do anything of myself," but you know, I'm sure they're saying, "Well, you're doing plenty here. Yeah, you just broke the Sabbath. You just did all these things that are, you know, creating havoc because you're not following our rules. Looks like you're doing plenty." But he's saying that I can't do anything but what I see my Father doing. And this word "see" is the word "edo," and it basically means that, like if I was trying to describe to Zeke like a location to go someplace, and at first I just gave him an address, you know, and he goes, "I don't know where that address is." But then I say, "Well, you know, it's kind of down over by, you know, like, say, Rudkin Road or something. Rudkin Road's the one over here, right?"
Yeah.
Yeah. And just make sure I'm giving it, and it's over kind of by Fruitvale, and so, you know, you start describing that, and you just give general ideas and go down, you know, 40th and take a right, and then all of a sudden, you know, "Oh, I see. So even though you weren't there, what I showed you by communicating to you in your heart, you were able to see." That's that same kind of word. So what Jesus was receiving from the Father in his heart, in his oneness, his intimacy that he had with him, because we know in John 17 he says, you Father and I are one. You know, and I want them to have that same oneness. So what he was seeing was what the Father was telling him to do it, but he was seeing it, is the way he described it. He didn't say, there's times he says, "I hear," but this time he was actually saying, "I see and I do what I see the Father doing." And whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So in a way, Jesus could be seeing the heart of the Father of what he wanted to do. For instance, that man who had been paralyzed from birth. Mm-hmm. For all we know, the Father's wanted him healed the whole time.
Right.
He would have loved somebody to help him get into the water and he would receive his healing, because that's not the way he made his child. I mean, he made his child to be whole and healthy and strong, and you know, it was because of the fallen nature of man that he was in that state. And so whatever the Father was seeing that he wanted done, Jesus was seeing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. John 3:35, Jesus says this: "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." So this man who, and then this isn't, of course, about this particular incident, but this man who was there in that situation of being, you know, let's say over 30 years or something like that, long time that he was in a paralyzed state. And so he was given from heaven the ability, what he needed to give that man for his life to be transformed, for his health to come back into his body, for strength to come back in his legs, for that paralyzed situation he was in, condition, to be removed. The Father loves the Son Isn't it interesting that we were talking about love today? And I believe that's why Jesus was able to do everything he did, because he knew he was loved. He knew that the Father loved him. And because he loved him, he had given all things that he needed. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. I can think of some verses that basically communicate the same thing about us. John 8:28. John does a lot of these communications about Jesus' authority. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So now Jesus is talking about everything that he's done is based upon what the Father has personally taught him, communicated to him. Not like just, you know, coming to church on Sunday and getting told what to do, you know. This is what you do to be a good Christian. No, the Father himself was speaking to Jesus. The Father himself was communicating and teaching him. Back in John, I think it's 16, it says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Mm-hmm. So he was speaking to the disciples, but we get the same Holy Spirit, that we don't have to do anything of ourselves. We don't have to be in a situation where, well, you know, what am I to do here? What does God want me to do? No, we have the Holy Spirit, the Father. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Son. Did you know that? If you have the Father, you have the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have the Son, you have the Spirit, and the Father. You can't have one without the other. Right. It doesn't happen, you know. If someone says, well, you know, I just love God, and I'm praying to him, I'm speaking to him, and I'm seeking him for my life, and, well, you're interacting with the Son and the Holy Spirit then if you're doing that. Maybe you don't know it yet, but that's what you're doing, because you can't have the Father without the Son and the Spirit.
So in John 5:19, where it says the Son can do nothing of himself, what he's meaning is that he can only do what all three of them are going to do.
He can only do what the heart of the Godhead does. Exactly. That he does. He's not autonomous.
Right. Explain that.
Oh, autonomous means that he's not out doing something on his own. Like Zeke saying, someday we're going to have these autonomous vehicles. I've heard about, they've got autonomous service trucks that are driving in some cities now. That means no driver. And they're doing deliveries out in public, driving on the same roads that others are. In San Francisco is one place. I think back east is another place. Yeah. But that's what autonomous means. That it's, you don't, you're yeah, you're by yourself. The car's driving by itself. And Jesus is not by himself.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit's not, never by himself. And just like we're never by ourselves. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's a good question, though. John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority. Usually he's speaking to religious leaders when he has to say this stuff, because they're always going like, well, what gives you the right to say that? Or why can you do that? You know, it's like, what do you mean God's your Father? You know, he's God, you know. He wiped out all of Egypt in those 10 plagues. You know what I mean? They're like having a problem with what he's saying. Yeah, God's my Father. And your Father too. What do you mean he's my Father? You know, they had a bad perspective of who God was. So he's communicating to him, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus is being shown what to do and when to do it. He's being shown what he's been taught and how he applies what he's been taught. And now he's communicating that the commands that he's been given, those are the commands that he's to speak. So it sounds like he's not doing anything on his own. And that's why he could say, I can do nothing of myself. I mean, you can imagine that somebody who has really no grit about that, that they think they're separated from God, and someone's up there, well, I can do nothing of myself. What? You're doing this. Yeah. But Jesus is trying to communicate a truth that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Right. If you've seen me, you've seen the Spirit. You've seen God. I see you're like,
Well, I'm just thinking about that scripture that you've talked about often lately about how we all have the fullness of God in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
That's
the activation of.
Right.
And really, we're the red light or the green light. We're the one that says, okay, activate, or okay, don't activate. And because he's given us free will.
Right.
But I can, and you can never have more of Jesus than you have right now. I mean, he's in you. You just have to recognize the power that he's given you, the love that he's placed in you, and that you allow your mind to say, okay, by the Spirit of God, I'm going to do this. Instead of having that stoplight that's a red stoplight or a green stoplight, you know, allowing yourself to have all the fullness of God and be directed by that.
Right. That when you said that just now, it reminds me of the book Josiah's Fire. It's a book that you guys can get. It's an amazing book. Tawny Cullen is the author, and she's the mother of a boy who has autism, but not just autism, like the severest autism you can have, like where you're totally, like, almost inward, and you're almost not getting no input. Like, you can't just sit down and say, okay, this is an A, your mind won't take it. So she had to go through extreme measures to get it to where he could start to learn. She was tenacious. But what this is reminding me of is that there is a point in this book, and I don't want to steal the whole thunder, but where he's getting communication directly from the kingdom, because nobody else can talk to him. Nobody else can hardly even break through his shell. But in the Spirit, he's receiving instructions, and he starts communicating those instructions, and they're like life-giving. So when you were saying that, it was reminding me that he had the fullness of God in him, and that's what was activated. And I don't know if it was activated because he was so severely autistic that it caused other parts of him to be totally illuminated to God. But Roger just read it, but I think you'd probably recommend the book, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Because all through the book, it speaks to us very personally.
It is.
God is speaking to us not just through him, but he's conveying certain things to us.
Right.
That he wants us to be aware of.
Right.
I mean, if this autistic young man can convey the things that God is saying, what is our problem?
Exactly. We are our problem.
You just cut to the chase, don't you, Roger? Yeah.
We are our problem because we have, he didn't have all of that input of the world stuff because he wasn't able to receive it. So it's that the strongest dog is the one that you feed. Is that right? Is that the right saying?
The dog you feed is the one that wins, right?
Is the strongest. And his spirit was being fed by God because he wasn't getting anything from the world. He wasn't, pardon me?
He's already died to himself.
Yeah.
I mean, not on by his own choice.
No.
By God's choice. So we need to take a look at this in a different way.
Yeah.
How do I need to die to myself?
Right.
Yes, exactly. Tons of dying left in me. It really is. And see, the whole thing about it is that all of us can be where he is. All of us, as that little boy, and I'm not saying all of us can be autistic, but we could, but we're not. But all of us can be in God where that little boy is.
And have that kind of relationship.
And have that kind of relationship. He has no more fullness of God in him than I have in me, or you have in you.
Just that
his receptors are completely open because he doesn't have any other thing stopping him. And that's when it's your only way of communication, you're going to communicate because you've been longing. We long to have relationship. God made us that way. That's why he made us, is to have relationship with us. So here he's done that with this little boy, but all of us can be that receptive. But we let life happen.
Life happen. That's what it is. Life just can just become so overwhelming that it ends up taking every single part of our being. It takes our heart a lot of times and hurts us in pain and situations, and then we hold resentment and grudges and bitterness and all of those things. Close that door.
Right.
Because God can't operate when we're in bitterness mm-hmm. through us as much as he wants to. He'd love to. But it's almost like we tie his hands.
Our humanness ties his hands.
Our humanness. Yeah, I was telling somebody, I think it was you, Roger, on Friday, that we are our own worst enemies. Yeah. You have nobody out there that's more an enemy than yourself when you're not doing the things the way that God created you to do. John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son. There it is again. Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Now this is interesting. Was the Father out also maybe at the same time doing things through others? It sure sounds like there was a lot going on the earth, possibly, or maybe even in the heavenlies, that this is the heart of God and that Jesus is imitating his Father. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Now this is an interesting statement, because you have Jesus a couple verses ago saying, I only do and say and hear, you know, in different places, what I hear the Father doing. And so as the Father raises the dead and gives life to him, even so, in the same way, the Son of Man gives life to whom he will.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the he? It sounds like whom the Son wills, right?
Right.
Because he can say that because him and the Father are one. I don't know if they picked up on that, but it's pretty amazing that Jesus is able to, and I believe we are, as our hearts get close to the Father, get close to the Holy Spirit, get close to the mind of Christ, that we will know what the Father wants us to do.
You know that's
You're not going to just have everything, I want you to go do this, I want you to go do that, that because of the relationship, we will know that that's in the will of the Father. Go ahead. He got away with it, but it's like...
Because Christ was not autonomous, but he was, you know, he was part of God, just as we are. We have free will.
Right.
We're not autonomous when we're working in the will of God.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So, and I think that when it says, as he will, whom he will, God knew what Jesus' heart was as mm-hmm. well, and he knew what Jesus would see, and Jesus saw this man who needed mercy, and so it was God's will for Jesus to go and give him mercy, you know. And I think, you know, that was part of it, that he knew that Jesus would have his own experiences here, even though he's not autonomous.
Right.
He still had free will. He could have at any time said, I don't want to do this. And we saw that evident in the prayer. Let it pass from me if it's not
right.
necessary kind of thing. And so this is
your
just
will our, only, Father.
Right. And so this is just our example of Jesus was our example of, you know, not being autonomous. In God, you know what I mean? We are free-willed creatures, but when we're working in him, it is about him and his glory and his will.
And this can all be kind of confusing. It, for whatever reason, it works against our natural mind. And it was even bothering the disciples, because in John, I think it's 14, they're saying, hey, Jesus, just show us the Father, and it's going to be okay with us. If you just show us the Father... Okay, then we'll get this, you know, because then, you know, then we'll know, you know, that the Father and you are all like working. And he said, Philip, how long have I been with you? I mean, you should know by now that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Because I and the Father are one.
Do you, somewhere in the Gospels, it talks about two of the disciples, and I want to say that it was Peter and somebody else, where they're walking by the guy that is asking for alms.
Oh, that's in Acts.
Acts. And they don't have any, but what they do have, they freely give, you know, rise up and walk. So they don't have any money to give him, but they do have the fullness of God. So that's what it kind of reminds me of, because they saw Jesus do that all the time.
Right.
So it's like copycat, sort of.
For the Father judges no one, verse 22, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So if you're of the mindset that, you know, that you're going to be judged by the Father, Jesus is kind of putting an end to that. Mm-hmm. And he'll explain here in a little bit why that is. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, he's talking to these guys now who said, what do you mean he's your Father? I mean, they're probably bit their lips and their tongues. I mean, you know, they're gritting their hand. I mean, they probably want to wring his neck, because this guy, in their estimation, is blaspheming. I mean, he's saying, you know, because they don't understand that he's Messiah. Maybe some of them do, but he's saying, listen, the Father wants to honor the Son by giving him all the ability to make judgment. I mean, that's like powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's like pretty controversial. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now this one I'm just going to kind of read through and not make comments on, because there's kind of self-explanatory. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So if anybody tells you that as a Christian, you're going to come into judgment, you take them to this verse and say, nope, I'm not going to come into judgment, because I have passed from death into life, because I'm believing in him. I'm believing in the one that God sent. I'm believing in Jesus. Yeah, amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. Oh, dude, it's hot in here. I just realized that. We need to turn on the air. Well, then just do it. Here, that's the key. What? You're burning, right? I'm like going, I'm getting really hot.
Tell him where to go.
Oh, he knows where. There's one up here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then the one, no, well, that one's on. Yeah, it's cool over there. That one right there, that one on the wall. Yeah. Oh, sorry, guys. I'm like going. Yeah. No, it's not 85, is it? It's like. Sorry, those on the internet, but we're starting to get hot here.
Yeah.
Oh, just turn it to cool. Yeah, it's like at 64. It's going to run the rest of the day. Thank you, bro. Whew. I'm like going, why is it so hot?
I'm Hispanic, so I could take some heat.
Oh, okay. Did you turn on the one up there too?
No, just the one right here.
Okay, please turn that one up too. Yeah, that will get two going. And poor Jesse. I mean, he must just. Are you sweating up there?
I'm just minimizing my movement.
Minimizing my movement. Okay. It'll probably be cool by the time we leave. So anyway, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, this is Jesus again declaring where his life comes from, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. In other words, the Son has right to give us life. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That's a sermon all of itself. Notice he didn't say Son of God, Son of Man. And real briefly, what he's saying is that Adam fell. He was one of the first sons of men. And it took a Son of Man to be able to get to the position to be able to judge the world. Because remember, and God said at the very beginning, you know, you have dominion, you have rulership, this is yours. And so aside from, I believe, getting agreement, God's hands are tied, and Jesus was the ultimate agreement for the salvation of mankind. That's why he said, Son of Man that time, not Son of God. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That condemnation could be the resurrection of judgment or a place of being judged. I can of myself do nothing. Again, there it is. I can't do anything of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Roger.
Yeah, for one person of the Trinity to do something on his own is to deny their unity.
That's good. Yeah, for one person to do something outside, one of the Trinity, to do something outside of the others is to deny their unity.
And in saying that, we have everything we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I got saved, you know, I came to Jesus, and Jesus was like, oh, he's my Savior. He saved me. I was so thankful. He saved me. You know, I'm not going to go to hell. And, you know, and then I found out, you know, that there's more that goes along with this Christianity than just not going to hell. And so, you know, he's the one who I worshiped and adored. And then about a year and a half later, the Holy Spirit comes along. And so I started having a great relationship with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and praying in my heavenly language. And Holy Spirit started, you know, doing those things that were like confirming deeper within me things that I didn't know about myself, about God, and opened up the Word even fuller to me. And then it was a lot of years later that I really came to the Father. And I think that's because I had some father issues and some growing up and some issues of kind of the pressure issues you can get of life and even in the church. And so I never really looked at the Father from the right eyesight. But when I had Jesus, I had the Holy Spirit. When I had Jesus, I had the Father. I had them all three. I just didn't know it. And like you said, it's that we had the fullness. I mean, I had everything I needed then. I just didn't know it. So how much are you not, or how little are you maybe being activated because of your lack of knowledge? And how much more could we be growing in God and being like, you know, little Josiah, if we truly had a vision of who God has made us to be for him? That we're loved, and that we have all authority and all power. Jesus says, I give you all authority and all power. He told the disciples that at the end of his time here on earth. That was one of the final messages that he gave them. And then he told them to go wait in Jerusalem and then receive power from on high, so that they would have the power for that authority to activate. Do you have anything else? Okay, you had one more thing.
Well, I was just going to say,
right.
In the wrong way, because he is such a gentleman. And so when your eyes were open to who the Father was, it's because you were finally ready.
Yes. That's true.
There's
that's
timing like, in God.
Yeah.
I believe that.
So that's what Jesus was doing, is because we as a people were not ready to see God in mm-hmm. his fullness.
But what I'm saying is I was thinking I had Jesus when I had all three.
Yes.
You know? And if somebody, you know, tells you, you know, that they're a seeker of God and they pray to him, and maybe they haven't found Jesus yet, don't slam what they're doing. Encourage them to keep pressing into God, because they're looking for God. Guess who they're going to find? Jesus and the Holy Spirit, if they're truly looking for God. So
that's
encourage
right.
them
that's right.
to continue to look for God. You know, because sometimes we want to come in and say, well, I'll tell you who God is, and keep in mind, the God you're explaining is a God that you understand right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
The God that I was explaining when I was first saved was the God I understood at that time. The God that I would explain now would be much vaster and much more full of love and much more full of compassion and grace and mercy. So we gotta remember, when we're representing Christ, the best way to represent Christ is to love people mm-hmm. with a love that only God can inspire.
That's why I love that one song, Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Love came down and set me free.
I am yours.
Yeah, I love that song because that's exactly what it's talking about. And when those two gentlemen came to the door and we had company and you didn't have time to talk to them, what did you say to them? You said, don't stop seeking after the truth.
That's what I told them.
Don't stop seeking after the truth.
That's my little bit that I could give them to keep them.
That's those little guys with the white shirts, dark pants with their little name tags. He's like, keep seeking after the truth. Don't stop seeking. Keep seeking. And it's like, what a testimony to be able to say that to people instead of, oh, you're wrong, I'm right, and let me tell you why. I mean, you know, people don't want to hear they're wrong about anything because they think they are right. But encouraging them in their search, how powerful is that? That is so huge. I have a friend, she lost her husband when she was, late 20s. Like 28, 29, he was hit by a drunk driver. He was on his motorcycle on his way to work, and he was killed. And at that point, she didn't know Jesus. She didn't know, you know, about all that. She went to Catholic church every Sunday. She was very religious, but she started seeking. And I cannot tell you the joy that filled my heart when one Friday night we were having a women's conference here at our church for Friday night, Saturday morning. And my friend came and stood by me right here singing worship to the Lord. I mean, has come so far because instead of me saying, well, that's not what they're teaching you is not right. Instead of doing all that, it's like, keep seeking, keep searching. If you're hungry for the things of God, you're going to find the things of God.
I think there's
if
a Bible verse about that. You seek for, me, you will find me
when you search for me with all your heart. And that's what she was doing.
Pretty simple.
She had lost the love of her life and she was broken and aching. And it was like, is this all there is? No, there's so much more. And guess what? God has appointed us to be their cheerleader. We get to be their encourager. We get to say, hey, you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. It's okay. Searching is a good thing.
Does that mean we don't tell people about Jesus?
No.
Absolutely not. You say, Jesus transformed my life. He changed me. He made me, you know, from, you know, someone that was, you know, could have hurt themselves and was destroying themselves to somebody that had a future and a hope. And that is a message for all.
Yeah.
But we've got to get away from making people feel like we're judging them.
Yeah.
Because judgment isn't up to us. We heard it's up to the Son.
Yeah.
And he's waiting to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
He wants all to come to repentance right now.
I have really been thinking a lot about people and them giving their testimony, how Jesus brought them to himself and how we don't do that enough. We see people and we see who they are now, but who they were and what God brought them out of could be so encouraging. And I don't think we
kind of like cardboard testimonies.
I don't think we do that enough. I think we should. I think when we don't know somebody very well from our own church, from these few, hey, will you go out for coffee and let's share our testimony? I mean, how'd you come to Jesus? I remember we went to lunch one day with Roger and Cindy and Zeke and Tara, and it's like, how'd you guys fall in love? Like, we don't even know how they met, or you know what I'm saying? We need to do that with because it's so empowering
mm-hmm.
to know
you know,
people's roots.
Yeah.
Their heart.
How shocking it would be for some to know, and I'm just going to say it, that I was sexually abused my whole childhood, physically abused, mentally abused. Most people don't know that about me. It's not like I say it because Jesus completely delivered me, but how shocking it is for them to say, what? Like, you know, get their attention of what Jesus really has done for me.
Right.
He can do it for you. And our testimony, it is so powerful. And really, that's what the Lord is doing here. He's saying, I can't do anything beyond the Father. What he does and what I see him do, I can't do beyond that. Because he's my Father and he's testifying who he is. And that's what we need to do, to bring encouragement and love to one another.
Right. Yeah, please come on up.
Yeah
let's
come into
yeah.
Here. I know. Come on.
God uses relationships to bring us out of our realm and into his realm through relationships with other men and women of God.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. God, it's all about relationship. I mean, if we're just, you know, if we don't have anybody that we're interacting with, anybody that we're sharing our heart or our life mm-hmm. with, then do we have an opportunity to share the light with others? Probably not. So, not everybody's ready to hear. You know, some people just want to know that someone's willing to be their friend, mm-hmm. an unconditional friend. Not a friend just because they've got some money, or a friend because, you know, they're a really good singer or something like that, but because they are God's creation. Because they're a child of God's, we take the time to care for them and love them.
That's what I love about how Tara uses scrapbooking, because some of those girls come that are not Christians, right? And through relationship with some that do come, they hear about Jesus in a way that they never would receive if it was somebody that came knocking on their door and had a Bible in their hand and
or a pamphlet
and started shoving, you know what I mean, with their words. This way, these women of God are able to love. It's lifestyle evangelism, people. That's what it's all about.
But it's on our turf,
and it's not overwhelming, and it's not pressuring.
You really are. Now you're not perfect, and you're not on a pedestal.
Right. They see who you truly are, but you are still loved by Jesus, and you still love him. I love that.
Because God puts us in position with people that we're going to have a kinship with.
Yes.
Like our kinship.
Right.
And we have a, you know, different kind of kinship even though we have this relationship. But I believe that the relationship between me and Tara and being able to bring somebody that we both love and care about into the scrapbooking relationship she has wrong.
Yeah.
In leaps and bounds in her faith. Even
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
And she is like this total witness to her family. And other people have said to her, something is different. Or, and she's been able to say, I'm not who I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's got to warm your heart.
And she knows how to talk about
it. Yeah. I love that.
Amazing to do that, to be able to share in the joy of, you know, just loving somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loving somebody.
That's the gospel right there. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, years ago when we first started coming to church, I remember Pastor Ken had a sermon here. He explained to us how we were designed to be in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were designed. Relationship all the time.
To some people, he'd say, maybe some people, they don't think it's God, but it's to be in relationship with other people that maybe know about mm-hmm. God. We were designed to be in relationship.
So going along with that, is the 20th a good June 20th? Is that a set date?
Well, let's go, right?
Okay, so I'm going to announce it.
Well, the reason Tara says she thinks so is just because I might have to be in Alaska that week. So if they say, we got to be in Alaska, can we bump it to the week after?
Okay, so it's going to be the 20th or the 27th.
Yeah.
Tentative and flexible, either the 20th or the 27th of June. Is a Wednesday night. Zeke and Tara have the most gorgeous shaded backyard.
Yay!
And we are going to have
awesome hamburgers and mushrooms.
Well, either that or Pastor's going to do the pulled pork and
or something,
bring it,
or we'll
something.
Tag team. Yeah.
We'll figure that all out later. But that Wednesday night, instead of the men having their cell group, we're going to have a full church picnic in their backyard. Woo-hoo! Now, let me just
invite
tell you.
Friends.
Invite
friends. You're gone, though. You're gone.
No, I'll be here on the 20th.
Okay.
I go from the... I go from the 14th to the 21st. So you can't do it till I get back. The 27th is great.
So this is the reason I bring this up. This is a great opportunity for you to invite somebody to a relationship picnic or whatever you want to say. I mean, no pressure, no nothing, just getting together and fellowshipping. You guys, that's how I came to the Lord. I was invited to a pastor's home for a youth thing, and I'm like, and all these kids are like having the best time and you know, yelling and screaming and just having joy. And that's what brought me to the Lord, was that relationship. So that's our opportunity. You'll hear about it the closer we get. It's either the 20th or 27th. Mark it on your calendar, and we will get it done. And so we'll have a picnic. It's going to be potluck. Everybody can bring a dish, but we'll figure all of that out in the coming weeks, and you'll know more about it later.
Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. And God, you, Jesus, you said that you could do nothing of yourself, but only that you saw the Father do. So Lord, I pray that that all of us here today, Lord, would have a greater awareness. As the song said, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, so we can see you. Lord, so that we can see what you want to do in the lives of our loved ones, what you want to do in the lives of those that we work with, what you want to do in those lives of those who are our friends. Lord, just open up our eyes, Lord, so we can see, Father, so we can see what you want to do. Holy Spirit, speak to us, lead us, guide, and teach us. We submit ourselves to your mighty work. Lord, we submit ourselves, Lord, to what you want to accomplish in and through our lives. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember, tomorrow's Memorial Day, as you're with your families and enjoying time together, remember that you have that opportunity to do that because others gave of themselves the greatest gift that they could give their own life, and are still continuously giving, those that are serving still. So God bless you. Have a great day.
We love you guys.
Love ya.